Welcome, everybody, to the F-Ball NFL podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Hengst. I cover the NFL at sportsonearth.com, thecomeback.com, and scout.com's Orange and Brown reports. I'm joined, as per usual, by my co-host, Brian.
Hello again, Andrea.
Hello again, Brian.
Welcome back to the F-Ball studios.
Indeed. we are 3 weeks through the 2016 season. In fact, after this week, one quarter of the season will be gone, if you can believe it.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. I mean, it's just burning through. Although, you know, it still feels like it just started.
But there are always things to look forward to. There's always something new going on, especially this time of year. It's week three, which means Le'Veon Bell, the running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers, he's back from his three-game suspension. Cincinnati Bengals linebacker Vontaze Burfict, he's back this week after his three-game suspension. And we are but 1 week away from the returns of not just Cleveland Browns receiver Josh Gordon, but also, dun-dun-dun, quarterback Tom Brady, the New England Patriots, whose team might very well be, a robust 4-0 when the future Hall of Famer goes back under center.
Yeah, that's going to be something.
Speaking of undefeated teams, because last week we did talk about the teams that had yet to win a game. There were eight of them. Now there are four. But there are five teams that are undefeated. And I just wanted to bring these teams up a little bit because for each of them, there are surprising reasons. You know, it's surprising that these teams are undefeated at this point because of circumstances that they've been dealing with. For the New England Patriots, of course, Tom Brady not being there, Jimmy Garoppolo taking over. Then Jimmy Garoppolo suffering an injured shoulder, and the rookie Jacoby Brissett had to come in. But yet, no big deal, 3-0.
Not for the Patriots, apparently.
Denver Broncos, we all felt decent enough knowing that the organization felt very strongly about Trevor Siemian and why they let Brock Osweiler leave and why they didn't care to keep Mark Sanchez around either. The defense, of course, playing really well. Run game, not as productive as we had expected, considering what we saw a year ago. But it doesn't matter. Trevor Siemian's got some good arm. They are running the ball a bit, but I mean, it's not.
They're running fine. They had a tough week last week.
They had a tough week because it's Cincinnati Bengals.
Cincinnati. So.
But
other than that, I think you've seen this has really turned into Kubiak's offense. I mean, there's been some really good. Run blocking by the offensive line, and C.J. Anderson is certainly in the first two games.
What I'm surprised about is we've got a 2015 seventh round pick, essentially a rookie, starting at quarterback for the Broncos from week one, doing just fine at it. Minnesota Vikings, of course, Teddy Bridgewater's injury, Adrian Peterson's injury, Sam Bradford stepping in and looking really great. That defense just playing incredibly mm-hmm. high-level football right now. And that defense, and when Teddy Bridgewater went out and before Adrian Peterson got hurt, you know, we were saying, you know, everybody's like, well, you know, the run game, and they've got a really good defense, so you can't count them out. But then it just, look how good this defense is.
Yeah.
You really can't count them out. They go on the road to Carolina.
Yeah, and get that victory.
It's impressive.
They made it for a tough afternoon for Carolina.
The Philadelphia Eagles, you've got another rookie quarterback in there, Carson Wentz, drawing comparisons from his head coach and his offensive coordinator as Peyton Manning-ish in his preparation and work ethic style, comparing him to Aaron Rodgers, comparing him to Brett Favre. There's a lot of hype brewing for Carson Wentz, and he's going out there and he's not reinventing the wheel. I mean, he's not out there, you know, throwing these bombs and becoming Tom Brady overnight. They're putting him in a situation that benefits him really well, where he can throw short with, you know, and get the ball out quickly, and then his receivers, the West Coast offense, can get that.
The thing about Wentz that's been good or most promising, I'd say, is is how everybody is saying how quickly he learns stuff.
Yes.
And that's what
and
obviously
that's what you
looks
really want in a
looks,
young player.
Yeah, that's what looks what you can see because, you know, that's why, you know, he looks so sharp right out of the gate, you know, and he's not in that fog of trying to figure out what's going on. It's all coming that quickly to him. So that's very promising.
And then finally, the Baltimore Ravens. Everybody's getting healthy, getting healthier. Elvis Dumervil going to try to get back on the field this week. You know, there's a lot of criticism against the Ravens right now because, you know, you look at who they've played so far. They haven't had a lot of tests in their first three games. But at the same time, if you're going to bounce back, if you are going to be a good or even a decent team in any given season, you have to beat these lower quality opponents. You know, the Ravens
I don't think the Bills are that bad.
I think the Bills have a lot more question marks than I anticipated for the 2016 season. But, you know, these teams, you have to beat them. You know, Baltimore had all those injuries last year. People think that this is a cheap 3-0 team. But the bottom line is, I mean, we'll see what goes on. And we're only three games in. But bottom line is, the only stat at the end of the day that really matters is your win-loss record. And right now, you know, the Ravens are the top team in the AFC North. They're undefeated, and they're among, record-wise, the five best teams in the league.
I haven't heard that talk. And
oh, I've heard so much of it.
I'm not saying it's not out there. I'm just saying I haven't heard it, and I don't agree with that at all. I think the Ravens are a good team. I'm liking what they're doing this year.
No, I think the Ravens are a good team. I think that there's still some hiccups and some things to iron out because you got a lot of new guys working together. You got guys coming back from injury. But given the circumstances of last season, the best thing you could hope for is happening right now, a 3-0 start.
Look, it's the Ravens. Last season was the hiccup.
Yes. Last season was injuries.
It's the Ravens. So I'm not saying that they're the best team in the league by any stretch, but I'm saying that you should consider them among the better teams.
Do any of these 3-0 teams surprise you at this point? Are you surprised by any of them? Or are you surprised by all of them?
I'm not surprised by any of them. I'd say that you're right in that considering some of the things that's happened, there is some surprises there. Like you wouldn't expect Minnesota to look quite this good if you would have told me, and I wouldn't have expected that if you told me in July that they'd be down Teddy and AP. So, yeah, that's definitely a surprise for that reason. But at the same time, like it doesn't really surprise me that the rest of the Minnesota team is that good because I thought they were going to be this good.
I'm surprised that the Patriots are undefeated because I just figured even you know dating going back to week one, you know they're on the road against the Arizona Cardinals, a really tough team, a team that was one game away, just like the Patriots were from going to the Super Bowl last year. Mm-hmm. You know they have their starting quarterback, you know and all of that. They have the home field advantage. They appear to have the momentum, and so you know I'm surprised that the Patriots are 3-0 because I had them pegged to be 2-1 at this point, and I think a lot of people did because you think about the Arizona Cardinals. And now the Arizona Cardinals, of all things, are 1-2 with their backs up against the walls, tied for last place in the NFC West.
Yeah, I'll say,
some tough contests ahead.
It's definitely easier to say in hindsight, but
– sure, of course.
But to if you look back now, think about it from this perspective, as we'll say determined and focused as – you expect Brady to be to coming back from the suspension, which everybody knows was, you know, a load. And
sure.
So, you know, he's gonna come out, you know, firing lasers, pissed off.
That's the assumption, but maybe that's he doesn't. Now that we've assumed other things.
Well, I'm saying that's the assumption. That's what everybody would think. That was like that storyline. Well, I'd say that can obviously carry over to Bill Belichick and the Patriots in general, because that whole organization got railroaded for that whole sham. So
true. They lost draft picks. They lost money.
And you don't think Belichick is not out there trying to put it to everybody because of that?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean,
I'm just saying you've got him extra focused.
I don't think it's an insult to call Bill Belichick ruthless.
Right, and that's what I'm saying is that you've poked the bear on that. So it shouldn't be too surprising now that you can look back and say – yeah, they're 3-0, but, you know, one, they've built this monster of a team with tons of talent, and they're super deep and all that. And then you're going to go rattle the hornet's nest, you know.
I think, you know, pivoting over to the Philadelphia Eagles, I think what's not only surprising of this team being 3-0 is what they accomplished last week, which I think tells a lot about, like we were saying, Carson Wentz's preparation, his ability to run this offense that does play up to his strengths in that West Coast style,
mm-hmm.
but also to put the beating on the Pittsburgh Steelers to the turn of 34-3. That Steelers offense with Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown were only capable of scoring 3 points on Sunday, on top of the fact that that defense that we all knew was going to kind of be suspect this year gave up 34 points to a rookie quarterback, something that defense rarely does. I mean, they're typically nightmares for opposing quarterbacks, even when they're struggling in the secondary, even when typically against a veteran quarterback, they would struggle in the pass rush. They always had a knack of getting into the minds and getting after a young or rookie quarterback.
Sure.
And there's a lot of remarkable stuff that happened in that game. And I'm really curious to see if it's an outlier or a sign of something for either of these two teams.
Well, I mean, for one, I'd say you're right about that's typically the Dick LeBeau card is that
right, and Keith Butler, you know, was with Dick LeBeau. He's actually with the Steelers a year longer than LeBeau.
And he's running
was.
A similar defense, but I don't think it's quite the same,
right?
With respect to how they do the blitzing and things like that. So,
well, they don't have any natural pass rush too. Is another problem. Like Jarvis Jones is not going to be getting your quarterback
So what I'm saying is, I think that maybe there's that less of that effect now that it's Keith Butler instead of LeBeau. But
and Bud Dupree's on IR.
But going back to that game, though, that's definitely the less surprising thing was Philadelphia being able to put some points up on Pittsburgh, because we've seen a lot of teams be able to do that. It was surprising that it was Carson Wentz, but we saw him the first 2 weeks against certainly not the best defenses,
right?
Doing really well, and you know, not taking anything away from the kid's looking really good.
No,
he's
you should
really
be
running
to,
that
you should,
offense.
You should, as a quarterback and a coordinator, if you see a struggling defense coming your way in the upcoming matchup, you should find ways
right.
to mess with them.
Right. That what was surprising in that game, obviously, was the Philadelphia Eagles defense being able to shut down that offense,
yeah.
which was humming.
Yes. And manhandle an offensive line that is typically really good at advancing that run game and you know, doing enough for Roethlisberger to do his thing.
But I don't want to overreact too much either way, because I think that the Eagles are onto something with their defense. I think Jim Schwartz is doing a good job there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think I've seen this before on a number of occasions. I know there's people out there who agree with me and can back me up on this. I think Kian's one of them. Regardless, that's the Steelers do this thing.
They play down to
it's this
quote unquote
it's under Tomlin,
or they.
There's
or
just this
they
game.
They just don't come up for it. Yeah.
There's just this game, and it's not necessarily they're playing down
no,
anybody.
They're just not even
it's
into
that they're
it.
Playing below their capabilities.
Yeah.
They showed up not really caring that day.
No,
and
they didn't seem all that interested.
Right. And they just
throughout
they just, they
all
weren't,
four quarters.
They weren't getting anything to go their way. They just it was just one of those days for them. And so I don't want to take anything away from the Philly's performance. I'm just saying that I don't think they got Pittsburgh's best performance by any stretch.
Oh, no.
So, like, if they were to play that game again and they got a different Pittsburgh, how would the game go? I don't know. But if Philly played that well,
it would be
a great game,
least.
I think. You know, so, like I said, I'm not taking away from Philly, but definitely Pittsburgh didn't bring it.
There are lots of injury updates to get to. We're not going to get to all of them just because there's so many. Dez Bryant, Cowboys receiver Dez Bryant, has a hairline fracture in his knee. Is still hopeful to play, but it doesn't really look like it just because of the nature of the injury. But, you know, might as well play some trickeration and turn something into a game-time decision. Russell Wilson has a sprain in his MCL, but apparently is also going to play through it. Meanwhile, Jamaal Charles, the running back for the Kansas City Chiefs, looks on track to make his regular season debut after suffering a torn ACL last season. And finally, J.J. Watt, four-time Pro Bowler, four-time All-Pro, three-time Defensive Player of the Year, one-time All-Around Player of the Year, and guy with 76 career sacks already, had a setback with his back injury. The surgery he had for the herniated disc over the summer, he re-aggravated the back. He is on IR. Though he could be, because there's no singular designated return guy. You can just bring one back whenever you want to. They might bring him back, but it's also possible he needs surgery again, which would probably turn that possibility to 0%. That's a huge loss. I mean, there are a lot of other talented guys.
Wait, how
guys.
Does that work? You can nobody's designated to return.
But you can bring one back.
You can bring one back, but does that guy have to have been on there for a certain amount of time
yes.
before you can bring him back?
Same as always.
So that's 6 or 8 weeks or something
like
that?
Yeah, it's 8 weeks. 6 weeks, they have to practice in 6 weeks and play in 8 weeks.
Because you said that you can bring him back whenever you want.
No, you can bring whoever back whenever it's time to.
Whenever it's time to, right.
Whenever the by the rules.
Just
yes.
wanted to clear that
it's
up.
It's eight weeks till you can play, 6 weeks till you can practice.
Okay.
If you can. That's at the earliest. You know, that's a big problem. I mean, there are other components to that Houston defense. You know, you've got Jadeveon Clowney, you've got Whitney Mercilus. Brian Cushing is trying to make his way back this week. How effective
Big
or how
Vince is still doing his thing.
Huh?
Big Vince is still
Big
doing
Big Vince
it.
Is obviously there doing his thing. Brian Cushing trying to make it back this week. Again, not sure how much of an impact he'll have. That's a guy with a lengthy injury history. Mm-hmm. But it certainly takes something away. This is a guy who's capable of 20 and a half sacks in the season.
Oh, it obviously takes
something
away.
You know what I mean? Yes, it does take something away. But how do you think that this Houston defense, how do you think they're going to manage it? I think it might be tough at first, but I think they might find a groove just because there's guys that have been working together for a while there and can get to the quarterback.
No, like you just said, it obviously takes something away. But, you know, I think there's still enough there that they should be solid. You know, they're not going to be, you know, it definitely hurts their chances to do much long term, unless they can stem the tide and they get him back at some point.
But also, do you think that on the offensive side of the ball, Brock Osweiler, DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller, Lamar Miller, that they can step up in turn and be able to make up for whatever ends up being lost on defense?
It's just going to depend week to week on who they're playing, because I just feel like they're one of those teams that, you know, you put them up against in a big game up against a good defense. Are they going to go to Denver and win? No.
No.
So, like, are they going to go to Kansas City and win?
Maybe.
That's going to be a good game,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that'll be a good game.
You know what I mean? Are they going to go to San Diego and win? Potentially.
Maybe.
I think they could do something like that. You know what I mean?
San Diego themselves suffering a big loss on defense this week with Manti Te'o landing on injured reserve with a torn Achilles. So, I mean, that's something that's going to mm-hmm. affect that side of the ball for them. Yeah, but I mean, I feel like we have yet to really see exactly what this Texans team as a whole was supposed to be this year, and it muddies the, mm-hmm. the picture even that much further with Watt being out now.
Right.
But you know, we haven't really seen that full potential of Lamar Miller, but we know that he's already getting more work than he had in Miami, so that's a start. We don't know the exact potential of what Brock Osweiler is going to bring as a quarterback there, because he's only been there for three games. He's looked pretty good for two, looked pretty shaky for a third. But
that was in New England.
But that was
in a primetime situation.
In a primetime situation.
That was a tough game for
correct.
Him.
Correct. And at the same time, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller are two very legit receivers. That makes things a lot easier for Osweiler. So
yeah, Will Fuller is going to have to hang on to the ball. He keeps making
true.
Big drops,
that's
and
true.
it's getting to the point where it's starting to affect things. The problem is he's really explosive and has the ability to make those plays if he just hangs on to him. So
correct.
So that's
getting that
that's an X factor
around.
There.
Yeah, that's definitely an X factor.
If he gets his hands around and there's as you continue to see as many opportunities as he's had so far this season, you know, that's a way for that offense to, you know, to really have something that is going to be tough and definitely gives them a better chance.
Yeah, I think the Texans are kind of one of those teams where it's, you know, and you can say this obviously, you know, small sample size.
It's too early to tell on all this, yes.
But there are a lot of teams where it's not too early to tell. You know, when we're talking about some of these 3-0 teams like the Patriots and the mm-hmm. Broncos, it's not too early to tell. You talk about some of these 0-3 teams, Cleveland, Chicago in particular. I think Chicago is, I think they're the ones going to get the number one overall pick right now, not the Browns. Brown's going to be right up there, but I don't think they'd be number one. But I think you can kind of tell what's going on with the Bears. But, the Texans are just in that area of well, let's see what happens. Let's see what it looks like week five. But
yep.
After 3 weeks.
Check with me in mid-season.
Yeah,
check with me in late November, you know.
Yeah.
We'll see what's going on then. And we'll see, because a lot of it depends on
what it looks like without Watt.
What it looks like without Watt and how they can get through, because it sounds like if it's, you know, a back problems relating to a surgery and all that, and he's played a couple games, I think that sounds like something that potentially, especially someone like him, he could get through by December.
Well, yeah, but that was the thing, is that they brought him back too quickly, I think, and he brought himself back too quickly from that first surgery, and now he's staring down the potential of another surgery. And based on the message he sent out on Facebook or Instagram or whatever earlier today, it sounds like he's preparing for himself to be shut down for the year.
For the whole year.
That he's IR. All right.
Well, yeah, if he's definitely gone, that's going to be tough, like, even if they can get through to the playoffs, just because, you know, not having a guy that can be that kind of difference maker in big game situations, you know, it just lessens your chances. I mean, you know, like, it's like you see, like you saw Von Miller in the Super Bowl last year, your best player making big plays when it counts the most. And that's one of the things, that's one of the reasons why everybody wants those kind of guys on their team.
Right.
Is because of those situations, you can call on them to do that kind of stuff, so.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here at the F-Ball NFL Podcast, and we're going to come back with your Week 4 Minute Picks, so stay tuned.
Don't forget to understand exactly what you put on the tree.
Return here to the F-Ball NFL Podcast to make our Week 4 Minute Picks.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is, of course, where Brian and I make our picks for each game of the week and try to stay within 1 minute as much as possible. This one's probably going to go over because I have a couple of things to say. We start on Thursday night. The Miami Dolphins are at the Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals are 1-2 last year, of course, AFC North champions. So here's the thing. Andy Dalton has a little bit of recent history with Miami Dolphins. The past two times that they have met, the Bengals have gone 0-2. He's been sacked 8 times. He's thrown 5 interceptions to 1 touchdown. And this year, things are not going so well for him either. Only 2 passing touchdowns, 2 interceptions, leads the league in being sacked. He's got 12 of those. He's really keyed in right now on A.J. Green with Tyler Eifert out. Eifert, of course, being his big red zone target last year, scoring 13 touchdowns. Last year, by the way, Bengals 65% touchdown rate in the red zone. This year, 30%. All of these things line up to maybe saying, okay, Dolphins are going to lose, or the Dolphins are going to win. The Bengals have their backs against the wall right now. But I think that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to win this game. The Cleveland Browns went down to Miami last week and kind of took the Dolphins to, you know, to the limit in a way that nobody really had anticipated. And I think with Miami in Cincinnati this time under the bright lights, the Bengals win.
Well, yeah, you kind of stole it there. I thought you were going to go with Miami especially with that big lead up. But I was.
Those are all numbers to consider. There are reasons why the Dolphins can win.
Yeah, I think that two things about this game. I think the Dolphins are having some problems, especially in their run game, with Arian Foster out
and their run defense. And Jeremy mm-hmm. Hill leads the Bengals in rushing touchdowns and touchdowns total. He's got 3 rushing.
So I think there are issues that the Dolphins are having. I think Cincy is a better team. I think the only thing that scares you is that history of Dalton against them, and I think that he's going to snap that just because he's looked terrible so far, and he's looked terrible against them always, and finally people are starting to talk about it, and that's usually when something that's not supposed to happen happens. So,
Sunday games begin bright and early this week.
Oh,
we
yes.
are in London.
That's right.
The Indianapolis Colts versus the Jacksonville Jaguars at Wembley Stadium in London. Jacksonville, of course, a winless team, while Indianapolis picked up their first win, a needed win last week. Jacksonville, you know, the offense is not moving along as well as it did a year ago. Blake Bortles seems to have taken a step back. We're still waiting for that defense to come on that we keep talking about and keep talking about. Gus Johnson is probably on the hottest seat, Gus Bradley is probably on the hottest seat of any of the coaches in the NFL right now. And I think if Jacksonville loses, they could leave him in London. And I think what happens in London stays in London. And Gus Bradley's going to have to find his own flight home. I'm going to go with the Colts.
Are you actually predicting the firing too?
I wouldn't be surprised if they lose here, they fire him. I wouldn't be surprised.
It is becoming a trend with the London games anywhere. But yeah, so this is a nice divisional matchup in London for some reason. So Indy's kind of owned Jacksonville for a while. And definitely we've seen some issues with Jacksonville, certainly on their defense. But certainly you mentioned Bortles. I'm kind of wondering if he's hurt or something, and maybe there's these nagging something that he's dealing with, because he's off for a lot in a lot of ways right now. But yeah, I'll go with Indy here, just because Jacksonville's, they need to figure things out and do it in a hurry. But I'm not expecting it yet.
The Tennessee Titans are at the Houston Texans, as we talked about earlier. No J.J. Watt for the Texans, but I don't think it matters. Tennessee's offense is just it doesn't exist right now. It doesn't play to Marcus Mariota's strength. The only guy who's doing anything out there right now essentially is DeMarco Murray, and you don't need J.J. Watt to defeat a lackluster Tennessee offense that only features DeMarco Murray at this time. Plus, Tennessee's on the road here. I'm going to go with the Texans.
Yeah, I look back at what I was thinking about Tennessee coming into the season, and I had still had questions about their offensive line, their receivers, and those are in their defense, and that's kind of all still the case. So yep. After a few weeks, so I think that they're certainly behind Houston in trying to turn things around. Houston is definitely a more solid team. I think they're coming home off a beating and going to want to. Right the ship, if you will. Brock Osweiler is going to be more comfortable at home, especially against that Tennessee defense. I think you should see some big plays in the wide with the receiving game, and Houston definitely.
The Cleveland Browns are at Washington. This game fascinates me for so many reasons. Last week, of course, we saw that Cody Kessler to Terrell Pryor connection. Pryor also running and rushing for a touchdown. Also taking some Wildcat snaps. Washington, meanwhile, quarterback Rashad Breeland's a bit banged up. Josh Norman's looking human. D'Angelo Hall is out for the season on IR with an Achilles. Or is it an ACL? Either way, he's done for the season. So there are openings here for Cleveland's offense, if it exists, to take advantage of Washington's defense. It existed last year, or last week, against Miami. So I do feel a little bit good about that. I do just worry what kind of Kirk Cousins we're going to see. If we like that, then probably the Browns aren't going to be able to stop it. But if we don't like that, then the Browns might actually be able to eke out a road win. I'm going to get optimistic here and say the Browns finally get a win.
So are you officially going to refer to the Cousins' performance as either like that or not like that?
I don't know. I don't know if that'll continue.
Because I really like that. That's awesome.
I don't know if that'll continue, but it worked today.
Well, I guess I accidentally bumped the timer up to 2 minutes on this one, so we got some extra time here.
All right.
I don't know how that happened. But anyway, yeah, I think you look at this, it should be a Washington win here. I mean, Cleveland's obviously still has its struggles, that we've seen. Although they fought really hard on the road last week, and I wouldn't be surprised to see similar efforts out of the Browns. I think that's the kind of thing Hugh brings. Washington, their offense finally got going last week, or really got going last week. So I would expect that to continue because, Cleveland certainly has issues on defense and Washington's at home, so they should feel comfortable with all that. So I'll go Washington here, but I'm really pulling for the Browns this week.
Browns getting a road win
to get personal
first
issues against
season,
Washington, so I'll admit that.
Seattle Seahawks are at the New York Jets. Last week, New York Jets quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick threw 6 interceptions, including a pick 6. It was the worst performance, according to Football Outsiders' database of quarterback stuff, dating back to 1989. The worst quarterback performance on record at Football Outsiders.
Nice.
He got more completions to the Kansas City Chiefs defense than he did to Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall combined.
That's amazing.
And Brandon Marshall, he's still dealing with that knee. Eric Decker, he's banged up with a shoulder. Who knows how healthy they're going to be in a situation where, everything's kind of stressing out for them on offense. But Russell Wilson, he's got that MCL as well. So who knows how that's going to affect the way that the Jets defense can bother him on the day. I'm going to assume that Ryan Fitzpatrick has a bit of a bounce back, even if his two top receivers aren't feeling so good, especially with a limited mobility Wilson. I'm going to go with the Jets at home.
Yeah, no, I definitely like the Jets in this game, and it's mainly due to I don't expect Ryan Fitzpatrick to have another day like that. I mean, that's one of those aberration things. And coming home, He wants to bounce back from that. Seattle's coming in with, I mean, I'm sorry, Russell Wilson has a bum knee and a bum ankle right now, and he's a guy that relies on his mobility. This is going to be a problem.
It
against,
is a problem.
Against that New York Jets front. I'm sorry, that's going to be a problem.
It is going to be a problem.
And so I like the Jets here. You know, I'm not going to put a bunch of money on it, but I like the Jets here.
Buffalo Bills are at the New England Patriots, which means, of course, Rex Ryan's been goofy all week about Patriots week. he was saying, you know, like something like Bill Belichick, you know, he is himself. He's authentic. He is who he is. I am who I am. Now, obviously, what Belichick does is what is better than what I do. But at least, you know, I'm true to myself and just all kinds of weird. It's just, you know, Rex Ryan.
He's already acquiescing.
He's already acquiescing. And I guess he should. I think New England wins this game. I don't think Buffalo has reached their true potential on offense or defense yet this year, which is unfortunate. Sammy Watkins being back this week, if that's the case, should help things out on offense at least. But, I mean, this is the Patriots. This is in Foxborough. We've seen what they've done the last 3 weeks. I have to go New England.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of tough to pick against New England right now. I mean, I think Garoppolo's back.
They have not announced yet. They are not making that decision
I'm kind of thinking Garoppolo's back. And but regardless, it's kind of, you know, the Bills looked a lot better last week.
Time's up.
That was all I was fishing for.
Carolina Panthers, surprising at 1-2 right now, are at the Atlanta Falcons, who came up very big against a, I don't think it was just Rob Ryan's fault, New Orleans Saints defense on Monday night. You know, it's good to know, you know, Atlanta can get back to scoring points in a big way in situations that behoove them to do so, because that's something that they struggled with on a consistent basis last year. You know, Carolina, they should win this game. I don't see why they don't win this game. You know, Cam Newton has promised that he's going to be treating Kelvin Benjamin a little bit better this week, and I can't fathom that won't be the case. I think Carolina improves to 2-2 this week. I think they can go on the road to Atlanta and win.
Oh, I think I like Carolina here a lot. It's in Atlanta, so you know you can't ever count out a home team for that situation. But I just like Carolina to come back after getting their tails whipped last week.
It's not like they don't know how to win in Atlanta.
No, and I'm not ready to buy Atlanta yet. I mean, do you remember last year who was 4-0 or whatever it was? I mean, the Atlanta was everybody's darling in September last year.
And then it just fell down.
And then it all fell apart. So I'm not saying that for sure that's going to happen. It's just I'm not ready to buy into this Atlanta yet. Their offense has looked good. And better than even I've expected, I think, because both the running backs have looked real good. But, you know, that defense is still suspect, and this is a big game for Carolina to win in the division and set the tone and make a statement that's, you know, reversing what happened last week.
The Oakland Raiders are at the Baltimore Ravens. Raiders at Ravens. As we were talking about earlier, Ravens, one of those 3-0 teams, you know, supposedly haven't beat anybody to get there, but regardless, are 3-0. Oakland, what's really shocked me about Oakland this year is that I thought that their defense would improve, and instead it's taken a step back. Khalil Mack isn't out there making that same kind of impact that he did just a season ago. You know, Baltimore, I mean, there's still some things shaky in Baltimore. I mean, you know, Joe Flacco's coming off that knee, and it's been kind of difficult for him to get on the same page with his receivers on a consistent basis. But the defense is playing really well and should have Elvis Dumervil back this week, which is also going to make a difference. I mean, Terrell Suggs has already been playing quite well. He's had 3 sacks over the course of the first 3 weeks. I think Baltimore knows how to win at home. I think that they're having, like we've talked about, a bounce-back resurgence year, and so I think they get that win over a Raider team, obviously traveling east early.
Yes.
For an early game.
That fun system for you bettors out there.
Yes.
I don't know if that's what you were referring to, but, oh, hell. I'll try and make this quick. Oakland's offense has been playing really well, I think. We'll see how that looks against that Baltimore defense, which looks kind of back to its stingier ways. And Mike Wallace against the Oakland secondary is not going to go well for Oakland.
Yeah, I think it might be a nice week for Mike Wallace.
So that's my thoughts, Baltimore.
The last of the early games, an NFC North matchup, pits the Detroit Lions at the Chicago Bears. Bears winless on the season may potentially get Jay Cutler back under center. Otherwise, of course, it is the return of the return of the return of Brian Hoyer. I don't care if it's Jacob. I don't care who it is. I'm going to go with Detroit winning this game. Chicago hasn't shown me anything yet, and I'm not going to pick them to win a game until they can show me they can even stay competitive in a game for throughout four quarters.
All right.
Lions.
All right. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
The Lions have beaten Chicago every time. The last time the Chicago beat the Lions, do you know who the coach was?
Who was the coach?
Lovie Smith.
He was fired the next day. That was the last game of the season, so
right.
To be fair.
The Lions have played really well in this series as of late. The Bears have looked next to putrid, if not actually putrid. The Lions' offense is looking pretty functional, kind of picking up where it was second half of last season. The Jim Bob Cooter experience is going well. Their defense is obviously still has some issues, and they've lost guys. But, that, of course, why don't you expect to lose DeAndre Levy? But I'm going to pick the Lions here, but I fully expect them to lose now because I'm expecting them to come in and beat Chicago. So,
spoken like a true fan.
All of that will be thrown aside on Sunday, and just so I can be wrong, I'm sure.
There are four late games this week. Of course, we have two teams on by the Green Bay Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles. The first of these later afternoon games on Sunday pits the Denver Broncos at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Denver is undefeated, and I expect them to stay that way. You know, Tampa Bay, inconsistent. And, I mean, you could say that it's week three, so a lot of teams seem inconsistent at this point, but Tampa Bay is one of them. Denver's got that defense. Trevor Siemian's got things going real well. You know, this could be a really nice week for C.J. Anderson to have that bounce back after a slow going against the Bengals last week. I'm going with the Denver Broncos.
I'm not totally against what's going on in Tampa Bay.
I'm not against it, but I don't think it's enough to beat Denver.
Well, I'm not saying you were. I'm just saying I'm not totally against it. I kind of like what Jameis has and what he's got to deal with. He obviously needs to keep developing, but I kind of like where he's
the connection
his start.
With Mike Evans is going real well this year.
They got a lot of things going on, but you know this. They're not one of the best teams in the league, and Denver is. And the Denver is a lot better version of the Rams team that they just lost to at home last week. So I'll go Denver.
Speaking of the Rams team that faced Tampa Bay last week, they are at the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona, another one of those 1-2 teams that
better than their record.
That are better than their record, but when the record dictates what happens with your playoff fate, you know, it's never good.
Three games in. Come on.
Three games in, but still.
They can still be 14-2.
Well, the thing is, this is the first of a two-game stretch against NFC West opponents next week. I believe they have the Seattle Seahawks. They got to at least win one of those games to remain competitive in a division that is actually quite strong, you know, outside of San Francisco. But San Francisco is at least playing people tough. I'm going to go with the Arizona Cardinals because I consider this a must-win game. But Los Angeles is going to play them tough because I think Los Angeles is really doubled down on, even if they can't play anybody else tough, on a consistent basis, they can play in their division.
Well, that's how they've been for the last couple
of
years.
And it still applies.
I hear you. And that's seriously, that's the only thing that scares me about this is how well the Rams have played Arizona over the last couple of years. But I think they beat Arizona last year in Arizona, and I'm positive that BA and the rest of those guys out there have not forgotten. And they're going to be, especially after kind of getting embarrassed in Buffalo last week. Arizona, for sure.
The New Orleans Saints travel to the San Diego Chargers. Of course, we were talking about New Orleans getting blown out by the Atlanta Falcons on Monday night. It was a high-scoring game. I would call it just shy of a shootout, though, because I think the team that was doing the most shooting out was Atlanta more than New Orleans, even though New Orleans did definitely put points on the board. So for those reasons, I think it's going to be difficult for New Orleans to go to San Diego and win. San Diego, even without Manti Te'o, they're going to have a better defense than New Orleans. They're capable of matching shot for shot Phillip Rivers with Drew Brees and company. And when San Diego has the better defense than New Orleans and they're at home, I'm going to go with the Chargers.
Yeah, I'm going to have to tend to agree with you here. Just, you know, everything you said is true about all of that. San Diego's offense has been playing really well. And against what we've seen the Saints defense look like, it's hard to play against that or pick against that. But I will say that I feel like one of these days that Breeze and them can win the shootout and outscore. And also that last time the Saints played on the road 2 weeks ago against New York Giants, their defense came up with some turnovers and things like that. So, you know, maybe they can put some of that mojo together while on the road and maybe pull up the upset. But I'll pick San Diego to make it official.
The last of the late afternoon games on Sunday features the Dallas Cowboys traveling to face the San Francisco 49ers. Will we see the Dak attack, or will the Niners attack Dak? Ha! 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 There's really not a lot of inspiring stuff going on with that San Francisco offense, and I fully believe that once Colin Kaepernick is considered to be 100% healthy by the training staff and head coach Chip Kelly, he'll be out there starting at quarterback. Dez Bryant, we're probably not going to see him this week, but there has been a difficulty between Dak Prescott and Dez Bryant really getting on that same page, scoring touchdowns, doing all that stuff. He's been focusing on Cole Beasley and a few other guys, and I would consider that to continue here. I'm going to go with Dallas because I like Dak more than even on the road, even as a rookie, than I like Blaine Gabbert playing at home.
Yeah, this one's a little tough for me. I'm kind of torn. I'm not sure. What are we going to see out of this Cowboys team on the road against an uninspiring opponent, I want to say.
Yeah, that's the thing, uninspiring opponent.
Yeah, and frankly, they still have a pretty decent defense at times, or they can
it's
put it together.
Times,
we've seen that. So I'll pick Dallas, but I don't know. This one is really flip a coin for me.
Moving on now to Sunday Night Football, the Kansas City Chiefs are at the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers hoping to bounce back from that big 34-3 loss at the Philadelphia Eagles last week. I'm kind of curious what's going to happen to this game. Doug Peterson, the Eagles head coach, longtime protege of Andy Reid, who is the coach of the Chiefs, could really take a similar approach to what the Eagles did last week with using Alex Smith, you know, quarterback, and having a nice like plus matchup there for Jeremy Maclin. Plus, of course, Jamal Charles making his return to the field. But at the same time, you know, the Steelers, they respond pretty well, especially night games at home. You know, they can get that offense going and kind of force the Chiefs to catch up. And playing catch up on offense isn't necessarily one of their strongest suits. They can keep up, but they can't really play catch up when they're behind significantly. And I think that's going to make the difference. But that Pittsburgh defense is questionable to me. I'm going to go with the Steelers because they do have so many advantages, at least on paper. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Chiefs do pull it out. They're not a bad team.
I would like the Chiefs' chances a whole lot better if they were in Kansas City. Catching the Steelers coming off – look, I mentioned it earlier. Tomlin has these games.
Yeah.
You don't see him 2 weeks in a row. Especially when it's a road game and they look listless, and then they come home, we've been talking about bounce backs for all these previews here today, and this is another one in that long line. I don't see how the Steelers don't really get it going here in this game. Kansas City's going to bring it, and it's going to be tough.
Yeah, they're a good team.
But I think we see the Steelers. Dare I say, especially with Le'Veon Bell back, the Steelers shall be focused.
And we wrap up week four with the Monday night game. The surprisingly competent, well, it's a pretty good year. They're having a good time. The New York Giants, they're having a good time right now. They are at the Minnesota Vikings, who are having a real good time at 3-0 in that beautiful new stadium. Dare I say, a football team put together a beautiful new stadium. you know, I've been impressed with the Giants this year. I've been impressed with their offense and their defense. You know, I was kind of worried that they were going to languish and not really see too much market improvement from a year ago or even 2 years ago. And I've been pleasantly surprised, but I've been way more than pleasantly surprised with the Vikings. And this defense is for real. You know, and Sam Bradford looks really nice there throwing that football to Stephon Diggs. And if he's, you know, staying healthy, that's a quality quarterback that they actually have there right now. So you put all that together, Minnesota's got that victory for me.
Yeah, looking back at the Giants this past week, and we see that, you know, it lived up again to the unexpected, especially when you're talking about the NFC East and
sure.
The Giants. And, you know, that was one of the many games that I got wrong last week, so I'll be the first to admit.
Yeah, I think I did a little bit better than you last week.
Maybe, but you were like me on a lot of them, but still. This is going to Minnesota, who's 3-0 unexpectedly. Certainly didn't expect them to win in Carolina last week. They look for real, and this is just it's a tough game for a tough draw for the Giants to get them on Monday night. And I like Minnesota a lot here.
All right. Well, that concludes our week 4 minute picks. Go ahead and burn them like we always suggest.
Yeah, I hope you burned mine last week because I was terrible. I'm normally like okay, did pretty good. And I was terrible
well.
last week.
I don't write mine down anymore just so I can just make myself think I did well and not have any actual evidence of doing so unless I want to go back and listen to the podcast. We're going to take a quick break here at the F-Ball NFL podcast, and then we'll close out your evening or afternoon or whenever you're listening to this, so stay tuned.
Your time of day.
Your time of day. Well, that is it for this edition of the F-Ball NFL podcast. As always, I am your host, Andrea Hengst. I cover the NFL at sportsonearth.com, thecomeback.com, and at scout.com's Orange and Brown Report. You can find me on Twitter at FBall_Andrea. That's FBALL_Andrea.
And again, I'm Brian. I co-host this podcast and as well as produce this podcast. And I can be found on Twitter at BFAT65. That's at BFAT65.
Thank you all for listening. Of course, as we say every week, we appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in, streaming, downloading, subscribing, whatever you do. However you access this podcast. We really appreciate it. And we really hope that you enjoy week 4 of NFL action. We will be back next week to talk about all the wonderful and not so wonderful things that happen. And of course, preview week 5. So stay tuned.
Later.
Peace.